Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Victorious Living. This is your host, Minister Janice. This is a great day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in this day. Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. It tells us love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. We're talking about love, y'all. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come today thanking you, God, for your many blessings that you shower upon us. We are just grateful, God. We are grateful for everything that you're doing, God. Even the things that we don't understand, we don't have an earthly understanding of some of the things that you're doing. But we trust you, God, and we believe, oh God, that you are working it out for us. Just as you have prepared a place for us, we believe and we thank you, God, and we decree it today, God, that you are God, and besides you, there is no other. We look upon this United States, God. We ask you, God, to look upon us, God. We need it. We need you. We need a Savior, God. We need to be saved, God. We need to be redeemed. We need to be plucked out of the mire, oh God. And we ask you right now in the name of Jesus to pluck us out, to bring us to the place, oh God, of repentance. And we will be careful to give you all praise. We will give you all honor. It's in your name, Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We thank him. Yeah, we thank him. He is a true and a living God. Hallelujah. Go get your water. Go get your water. We know the importance of drinking plenty of water. Water is good for us. Now, we know that we have been talking about leaders. Yeah, we've been talking about leaders. We've been talking about the duties of leadership and what leadership is all about. Yeah, and how leadership applies to our lives. Yes, how to lead is more important than one can imagine. A great leader has followers, and a person taking a walk with no one following, it is a big difference because it's just called a walk. Yeah. What is important to take a walk? What is important to take a walk when you're taking it all by yourself? Wouldn't it be great to have some followers with you on that walk, on that journey? Glory to God, huh? If you desire to be a leader, you must have followers. And then in order for you to lead, you must be a follower first. Glory, glory. Am I talking to anybody? Today we want to continue this series of leaders, how to lead, and who our followers are. That's very vital. That is a very vital point. Who is following us? What are we teaching? What are we training? What example are we placing in the lives of our children, in the lives of our community, kids that are in the neighborhood? What example are we? Yes. Let's look closely. Let's look closely. We're going to move closely to our lesson. And as we move closely to our lesson, we just want to stay focused with leader and leadership. Yeah. And how God can come and appoint you to lead even as a child. As a child, you can be a leader. Yes. So here we see in Acts chapter 23. And in Acts chapter 23, let me just bring you up to the book of Acts. Acts is the book that Paul, the Apostle Paul, has written. And Apostle Paul, as many of us remember, he was the one who, his name was Saul at one time. Before he was actually converted, he was Saul. And Saul hated the church. Yes, he did. He hated the churchgoers. He hated the families who tried to praise God, who tried to go and live a Christian life. He didn't go along with it. He was just upset with it. But then they had one day. One day came. It's all it takes is one day. All it takes is one day. One day came. And that particular day, Paul got converted. He got converted. Yeah. Something happened to him. He was knocked off the beast. Yeah. And a change began to come into his life. A change came into his heart. And when he heard the voice of God, he knew. He knew who God was. Why? Because he had studied. He had been taught. He had been trained as much about God as possible. But he chose to go in a different direction. Isn't that something? Many of us have done the same thing. Yeah, have chose to make the wrong turn. Instead of going right, we go left. So here we see in Acts chapter 23, and we're going to start with verse 1. We see that Paul, who has been appointed to speak to the Gentiles, and many times he had to address the Jewish nations as well. And so here we see that Paul is addressing the Sanhedrin. He's addressing the Sanhedrin councils. Yes. Verse 1 says, Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin, and he said, "My brothers, I have fulfilled." He fulfilled my duty. He said, "I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day." Now, I want you to just stay with me for a minute, because remember, we're talking about leadership. And you see, when you take on the role of leadership, many times you may not like who you have to stand up against when you're leading, okay? Because remember, you are first. You may be the first to ever did that, to even spoke those words to that crowd, or had a chance to correct someone who need correction. You may be the first. So you have to stand. And that is what God has prepared the body of Christ for. Glory to God. He's prepared us. He has not just thrown us out to wolves, okay? He's prepared us. And so here we see that Paul is standing. He's standing. He's standing bold. Yeah, he's standing bold, and he's standing bold with compassion. Yeah, you have to have compassion. You have to have the love of Jesus in order to even teach to those who are ignorant to the word, who don't know the word, have no inkling of what you're talking about. Love still must abide. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Yeah, love. Verse 2 says, "At this, the high priest, Ananias, he ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth." Did you hear what I said? Now this is and Paul is trying to explain to them who he is and who he is following. And at the same time, when he just made that statement, it was really a statement that he made, that he's really saying to them, "I have changed. I have made a change in my life. Look at my change."
But a lot of times when we try to do that, do people pay attention? Do they hear us? Do they see the change? Look at this. Verse 3. Verse 3 says, then Paul said to him, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law, yet you yourselves violate the law by commanding that I be struck. Glory to God. Look at what Paul is saying. And many times we see this. You desire to not receive the word of God that I'm giving you. So since you are not interested in receiving it, you want to beat me up. You want to beat me down. You want to talk me down. You want to say all kind of things against me. But Paul tells them that you. Yeah. And he's coming bold again. He's bold. He said you. Right here. You sit there, he said, to judge me according to the law, yet you yourselves, you violate the law. Yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck. So they were doing just the opposite of what they claimed to do. Huh? They were doing just the opposite. And Paul was saying that to them. He was not backing down, and that is so important also, because so many times leaders back down. Leaders take another way out. They don't know what to do when it gets kind of hot in the room. But not Paul. He's not going to back down. He's not backing down. And here he says, and the fact that he had repented. He had gone to God and asked God to forgive him for the sin of killing all the Christians and going against Jesus Christ. He had repented. But again, this particular council had no knowledge. They had no understanding of what Paul was talking about. So to them, the best thing to do was to hit him in the mouth. Wow. Yeah. But Paul was explaining to them that they were under the law. Verse 4 says, those standing near said, do you talk like that to God? God's head religious leaders? Do you talk like that to God? Now, this is what they're saying to him. For a moment, you thought they didn't know God, right? But here you see that they're asking them, Paul, they're turning it around. They're turning the table around, and they're asking him, do you talk like that to God? Remember, Paul is not going to back down. And he says, notice that you were aware of the difference. Notice they were aware of the difference between God and Paul. Be aware. Many times we try to explain to the body of Christ the word of God to people, to different folks, to family members, to loved ones, and they sit and they act like they don't have an inkling of what we're talking about. But just as the same heathen council did Paul, many of us have had the same thing happen to us. Verse 5 says, Paul said, brother Jews, I do not know that he was God's head religious leader. I know the holy writers said you must not speak against the leader of your people. Ooh, listen to this. Listen to this. Here Paul tries to teach about the order. He tries to teach to them about the respect. He tries to teach them about being genuine leaders. He says here, and he even calls them, he tells them, you Jews. And he takes the time to call them brothers. So he is actually being compassionate. He's coming at them with a compassionate spirit, a spirit of leadership, at the same time a spirit of teaching. Oh, glory to God. He has a teachable spirit. Verse 6 says, Paul saw that the part of the court was made up of religious groups who believe no one is raised from the dead. Listen to that. The other part were proud religious law keepers. And from a family of proud religious law keepers. See, they were all under the law. Okay? No one had been redeemed. Paul was coming. Glory to God. To talk to them about redemption. He says, I have been bought in front of them, in front of this court, because of the hope of being raised from the dead. Do you hear what I'm saying? Paul, now, a leader, that's what we're talking about. See, a leader can't back down. When a leader gets in a corner, a leader got to come out fighting. Did you hear what I said? He got to have the word all buried down in his heart. It's in his soul. It's in his DNA. And so when the enemy comes and he tries to tear him down, hey, it won't work. It won't work. He cannot win. Glory to God. Yeah. And we've seen groups like this. I know I have. You've seen, you've been in groups where you, they have a side over here that just, they're not the amen kind. They're not the amen people. But they're the people that mumble and grumble and don't believe what you're saying. And got some kind of something they want to address or attack or some kind of comment that's always negative and never agreeable. They're there. They're present. I think sometimes I've heard people call them the yaysayers. They're there. They come to tear down the word. They come to take it. They come to rob it from you. They're there. It says, verse 7 says here, when they heard this, both religious groups started to argue. They started to argue amongst themselves. People of the court were divided. They became divided at that point, but they were divided when they first came in. They were divided when they were in their homes, in their houses. They have been divided for a long time. Why? Because they never would receive the word of God. See, when you don't receive the word of God, you are just mixed up. You are confused. You got a lot going on, and you don't have the answer. You don't have any peace because the word of God is not there. And here we see Paul is trying to give them the word of God. Let me hurry up. Verse 8 says, our religious group believers that one is raised from the dead, and they do not believe in angels. Listen to this. They don't believe in angels. They don't believe in spirits. But the other group, the proud religious law keepers, believe that people are raised from the dead and that they are angels and spirits. So here we see there are two separate groups. Mm-hmm. And the two separate groups have two separate beliefs. Both sides are eager to shout out at each other. Both sides are eager to continually disagree. Instead of sitting down with harmony, instead of sitting down with Paul and having the desire to take notes and try to learn and be open. No. But leaders have to deal with this, and leaders must be ready. You have to be ready. You got to be ready at all times as a leader. Later you will see that the other teachers who were there were quite determined to try and bring peace. Yeah. They will always have someone that will try and bring peace in the room. Praise God, huh? But none would come to this place. They would not come to a place of reasoning and peace and having joy and having understanding with Paul, because he was trying to bring clarity to the word of God. Even once they proclaimed finding no fault with Paul. One time. He said they don't have no fault with him. But they were angry. They were bitter. Why? Because Paul was giving the word. He was giving the truth. And he was letting them know that he has changed. How many times we as leaders try to get folks to understand, I used to be like that. Yeah, I used to do that. But I am no longer like that. I have had a change in my life. I have repented of my sin. I have turned to, and do they listen? No, they remember where you came from. They remember what you were doing. They remember in the old days. Because it's so easy to remember that. And it's so delightful to remember that. Many times people don't like progress. They don't like to see you move into a new house. They don't like to see you move into a new place. They don't like to see your life change for better. They want to hold you down. But glory to God. We have a Savior. We have an advocator, I said, who can redeem us, who can pull us out of that miry clay, who can turn us around, who can wash us, I said, wash us whiter than snow. Glory to God, huh? Glory to God. Yeah. So leaders is what we're talking about. And you see, in this particular situation with Paul, if you continue reading, they decided they were so angry with after this meeting. Oh, they were just angry. They was ready to plot to kill Paul. So the teachers, the one who had the Holy Spirit, who understood what Paul was trying to do, they had to ease Paul out of the room. They had to ease him away from this particular congregation because they were getting rowdy. Yeah. See, when you don't want to receive the word, you get mad. And who you've heard people say, ain't nobody mad but who? Ain't nobody mad but the devil? Hey, because the word is going to go forth. So this particular group decided to move Paul. He had to move in quickly because there was just like a little ride was getting ready to start, and they were going to try to harm him. So Paul had to quickly move. So I'm talking to you, leader. Sometimes you may have to move. Sometimes you may have to get up and dust your feet up, off, and go another way. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Leaders. Now, I know that this weekend is Mother's Day. Yeah, I just want to address a mom who is a leader. Because, you know, many times, mom, the kids see you before they see anybody else. They see mom. Being that it's Mom's Day Sunday, I would like to ask, I want to ask a question. What have you learned from your mom? What have you learned from your mom? What out of everything has come from mom, out of everything that has come from mom over the years that you've heard over and over and over again, and you finally caught on to it, you finally got it. Think about that. What was it that she said to you? What was that? Because, see, moms learn to be repeaters. They know how to repeat. Oh, yeah, when everybody else don't know how to repeat, moms know how to repeat. And they can be continuously saying the same thing over and over and over. And they're going to say it over and over and over until you get it. I can remember when the babies were little, and we bring the babies to mom's house, and they were trying to learn words. Mama would say, Dada, all day with that baby, Dada, Dada. And by the time that baby would leave that presence of that mom, that was the grandma or the mama, that baby was saying Dada. So it's a repeat that mothers have. And this is the skill that a mom has. This is the teaching tool that moms have used for years. Repeat. So moms, they do make a difference. They do make a difference in our world. Yeah. And they do many great things. Many great things for us. Many times we only acknowledge mom on Mother's Day. But mom is mom 365 days of a year. She don't change. Huh? She gave birth to you, and so she's mom. Nobody else. She's not a stranger. She's someone that cares for you. She's someone that will go all the way for you. When nobody else wants to be bothered with you, you can always call on mom. When people act like they don't know you, mom does. When people don't want to embrace you, mom does. She always has a word of encouragement for her children. Mom, yeah, that's who I'm talking about. Mothers has the love of Christ for her children. And I just want to say that if you're a mom out there, and these qualities that I'm talking about, you have not used, you have not used them with your children, or you haven't addressed that with your kids, it's not too late. It's not too late to teach, to train them, to be an example before them. It's not too late. So I just want to say Happy Mom's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms who are listening to me. Yes, because mothers are important to us. We need godly moms. We need moms who are leaders, who can stand up and be truthful and stand up and correct us. We need that. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come thanking you, God, for this day. Thanking you for the opportunity that you give us. Thanking you for this day. Yes. Thanking you, God, for opening up opportunities and making a way, God, when it seemed that there was no way, there was no other way. We couldn't see it. You made the way. You prepared the place for us, and you're watching over us, and you're taking care of us, and you're providing for us, oh God. We just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And we lift up these mothers this weekend, God. We ask, oh God, that they are blessed and that they are highly favored, oh God, highly favored in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And we thank God for all you beautiful moms. We know that we have a lot going on and how we have to wash our hands and we have to wear our masks, but we do whatever it is we have to do, mom. We can do it. Yeah. We look forward to having you back here with us on Sunday evenings with God's Favorite Ministries, and back here on Monday evenings at 6, and back here again with God, with Victorious Living, next Friday evening at 8 o'clock. Yes, what a mighty God. If you haven't called your mom, it's time to call her. It's time to get a relationship going with your mom. So be blessed in Jesus' name. Be blessed in Jesus' name. We pray with you this day. Amen. Amen.